Life is so busy. If you blink, you can miss something amazing. It's important to take a moment and enjoy what we have and the people around us. I'm Mo Hagan, Chief Operating Officer for Canfit Pro, and welcome to A Moment with Mo, a podcast where I will welcome some incredible guests to talk fitness and nutrition, mindset and self-empowerment, setting our goals into action, and much, much more. Now let's get chatting. Hello, everyone, and welcome to A Moment with Mo, and I'm your host, Mo Hagan. In this episode, we're going to delve deep into what drives individuals and businesses towards a common vision and purpose, all in pursuit of success. And as a leader navigating my own journey, I am driven by curiosity around what forces shape and inspire people, and as well, how people shape and inspire others to lead. It's really that people and leadership journey that we're going to take today. Post-pandemic, leaders have really evolved to become beacons of resilience and adaptability. And of course, they need to embody the qualities that are essential, especially in a time where we're navigating much uncertainty and everlasting change. And leaders must be willing and able to embrace a diverse set of leadership skills, and also be open to embrace transformation, digital and otherwise, while at the same time prioritizing mental health, their own and those they lead, and foster inclusive cultures. Now, that is a big task, and to help us really unravel all of these leadership qualities, strategies, and steps towards amazing leadership, I couldn't think of a better person to invite onto the show than my friend and industry colleague, Katrin Bates. And Katrin, thank you for saying yes to this afternoon to be here today. And for those who have not met this incredible leader and human, I wanted to share a little bit about Katrin's background. And then we're going to dive into a really exciting conversation that I have been looking forward to having since the last time I've had the opportunity to work with Katrin. And I'm very privileged to say that I've been in the sort of horizon as well as in the front lines of leadership with you for over two decades, but you've been part of the fitness industry for, and I don't want to age you prematurely, but I believe it's nearly three decades. And you've had much diversity in your experience in the fitness industry with a proven track record of leadership excellence, including your current role as Vice President of Operations at Good Life Fitness. And you bring a wealth of expertise in your conversations beyond even your personal and professional accomplishments. You have devoted your career to nurturing exceptional leaders and teams and fostering both individual and collective growth and success. You are also a dynamic speaker. I heard you speak, actually blessed to have the recording of your presentation last year at Canfit Pro Global at a very special leadership event that you were a part of. And when I watched you in your leadership and not only the eloquency of your message, but how you just exemplify the class A leadership of leaders today, I couldn't think of a better person for today. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for those kind words, Mo. And thank you for inviting me on your podcast. I'm really excited to be here.
Great. And selfishly, everyone, I also invited Katrin because every time I have the opportunity to talk to Katrin one-on-one, the conversation is shorter than I always love it to be. It's usually over a glass of wine, and it's usually in a space where we just get moments together. So I couldn't think, you know, this would just sort of fulfill my cup today. And I'm always, always, as a leader, you know, desiring, and I have this curiosity for learning from other great leaders. So we are in for a real treat. And so I'd love for us to start off with a little bit more of your personal journey and your experiences that have shaped you into the impactful leader that you are today?
How much time do we have, Mo? But
as long as we need.
Lots. Well, you know, I'll start with I moved to Canada in the 90s, in the early 90s from Germany. And I sort of had the opportunity to reinvent myself when I moved here. And I really tried to figure out what I wanted to do. And I realized very quickly that I was happiest when I was working out and that I wanted to help others, especially women, to feel the same way. So I went back to school, got some personal training certifications, did a fitness and leadership program, and then started working as a personal trainer at a company called the Sports Clubs of Canada in, I'm going to age myself too, in 1997. And I did that for probably, I was the first and only personal trainer at the company. The personal training industry was still much younger then. And after about a year and a half or so, my general manager encouraged me to take on the role of fitness manager and build a personal training department. And that was my first leadership role. And I realized really quickly that in addition to being really passionate about helping others achieve their goals, I also loved building a team. And once that team was up and running, so I built that personal training team, and then my general manager again encouraged me to switch to the operations side of things. And I, over the next, I would say 3 years probably, I did the different roles from membership sales through to general manager. And then in the early 2000s, Bally Total Fitness at the time acquired Sports Clubs of Canada, which was a pretty big culture shock for us because we went from this really small, privately owned Canadian company of 10 clubs to being part of at the time, I believe it was actually the largest fitness company in the world. And I mean, any time in life, when we're faced with significant change, we are faced with a choice. Do we resist and hang on to what we know, or do we evolve and move with the change? And that's really the time when I learned how to lead a team positively through significant change. And a couple of years later, I was promoted to divisional manager. And then that was a position I was actually in when we were acquired. The majority of the Bally Total Fitness locations was acquired by Good Life Fitness, the company that I still work today. And, you know, at the time, it was my second significant leadership moment, I would say, or change in leadership moment, or leadership learning moment, maybe I should say, because I had 10 years of industry history or experience. And that was really, I was an unknown at Good Life. So I had to put again aside any insecurities of starting over again with another company. And I really focused on listening, learning. I had to ask for a lot of help, a lot of support. And thankfully, there were so many wonderful people who generously shared their Good Life knowledge and expertise with me. And that time really taught me the importance of collaboration, not just within one team or within your own team, but collaboration between different departments of a big company. I really learned that if you want great results, you have to work as one team. And I think those are a couple of the things that really shaped my leadership career fairly early on.
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you for taking me down memory lane, because I've been in the industry for that journey. And while I was observing your journey through Sports Clubs of Canada, I took one of the most pivotal career-changing trainings at the Sports Clubs of Canada, Body Pump, when it first, the first training that came to Canada was debuted there, even before the official training of Body Pump. But thank you for that journey. And also, success leaves clues. So everyone, when you hear, you know, hear people's journey or story through their leadership adventures, you really tap into some of the critical things that you can either learn from or affirm for yourself. And one thing you did say that I find fascinating, especially as women leaders, it's a fact that women will not step up into promotions on their own. They often feel they don't have the skill set or the experience, every type of excuse to not do it. And what we often have to do is trust those that believe in us before we believe in ourselves, or trust those like your general manager that saw the strengths in you, perhaps before you saw them in yourself, and you with courage, you said, okay, or yes, and you stepped in, and then you were prepared to learn as you went along, which is really, really courageous, but also very much required today as a leader, because there is so much uncertainty and constant change. And so thank you for sharing that experience. And I also picked up on the fact that with each major change in your career, you made a choice. Then you leaned in to leadership in the sense of mentorship. And now you are the leader that helps others. And again, success leaves clues. You know, I've always admired you as a leader for your ability, you know, your ability to both deepen your relationships with people, build that trust with them. At the same time, though, is, you know, develop the talent. And with that trust comes much responsibility as the leader, but you gain that trust and people, you know, really do lean in and take risks with you, like you did with your general manager. And lastly, you, at the same time as you develop people and lead change, you also really develop this type of accountability that doesn't feel authoritative. And that's what I've always admired in you. People just want to do great work for you and for the company, for the team, and in doing so for themselves. So kudos to you. And I always believe that the story tells us far more than the facts tell us about what it takes to be a good leader today. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on that?
It's very true. It's interesting because saying yes to this podcast really made me reflect on some of the steps in my journey. And I completely agree that, well, number one, we have to reflect back and see that we actually had a story. Sometimes you just think, well, that's just what happened, or that's just what I did. But when I thought a little bit about my journey, like you said, I had people who encouraged me. My general manager encouraged me, and I did end up saying yes. So it's just so true that we need to take that time to first think about our own story and then learn from other stories. Both are really important, but I often think we don't take a lot of time to reflect and really see our stories a little bit like it could be seen from the outside. So it's really important to share our story because it can inspire others, I think, just like we're inspired by other people's stories. So absolutely. Really great points.
Thanks for sharing that. And behind every story is where you also can find your why. Which is part of your purpose. And we must lead with purpose. And purpose helps to shape vision, but more importantly, it helps to inspire people to follow until they find their own vision and purpose for them to lead and then others to follow. So it's a really important, concept in leadership. And speaking of concepts, I'd love to invite you to explain or define in your words the concept of leadership style, because we all have our own unique style, and you certainly do. Mm-hmm. And how would you explain a leadership style or define it?
Yeah. And, you can look up a lot about leadership style, and there's a lot of definitions out there, I think, that, or types of leadership styles, but I would say most, or high level, I would say the leadership style is just the manner in which a leader goes about influencing the members of the team. That's ultimately what you're trying to do. And that will be impacted by the leader's personality, their values, their current skill set, what you're looking to accomplish, so the task at hand, as well as the personality and needs of the team that they're leading, because that's obviously very important. And I would say that most experienced leaders will have evolved their leadership style as their experience grows. So both their life and work experience. And still always remain flexible to adapt to current circumstances, because different times may actually call for different leadership styles. And I want to be careful when I say that, because I'm not saying is that a leader should be unpredictable. Actually, the contrary. I think one of the most important aspects of leadership, in my opinion, is to provide a team with calm, confident, and predictable leadership. But I think it's really important to remain flexible, to adjust your leadership style based on what you're trying to accomplish or what challenges you face. And I think we're coming out of a really great example for that. In the past 3 years, every team and every company in the world changed a significant and unique first of its kind challenge. And that type of external challenge that requires really rapid adaptation requires a different leadership style to keep the team focused and calm. And it's just, you're trying to make it through those times and focus on the things that you can do and that are the same maybe. Mm-hmm. And versus times when you're facing maybe, and I would call this a challenge as well, when things are really smooth sailing, your challenge as a leader could be stagnation. And then your challenge may be, how do I stretch and challenge my team so that we're not becoming complacent? So you have to adapt according to the circumstances, but ultimately, I think everyone needs to find a leadership style that really, it has to resonate deeply with you so that you're authentic, because authenticity as a leader earns you trust and respect, and you need your team's trust and respect in order to, whether it's motivate them, inspire them, or challenge them and stretch them. And sometimes you have to transform your team, and that just requires authenticity and the trust and respect of your team.
Brilliant. And you mentioned a lot of the qualities and character traits of a leader today. And I loved how you said it's also important to be, you know, calm, confident, and predictable, but be able to adapt your leadership style depending on your team during incredible times of change, but also when things are calm and, you know, can become a little bit complacent, which I'm noticing a little bit more today. And I always think, man, if we could have, with what we had to do back a few years ago, we should be able to keep that pace and that desire and that curiosity or courage to try new things faster or do things different to see if it becomes a better way to manage the business. And I'm noticing people are, but it's working okay now. And I'm like, what happened to us? We did it before. Let's do it again, even though we don't have a world crisis in front of us. I was going to ask you more about those traits, but you nailed so many of the most important: authenticity and trust. Empathy is a big one as well. I'm learning more about that every single day. And I think that's what I really learned around authentic empathy, you know, during times of the pandemic where I didn't know what the heck I was doing and I had to provide solutions every day. And when I got to the point, because we all probably got to that point where it was like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but I'm okay because we have each other and we're going to figure it out, because that's where the confidence comes in as a leader. So I'd love to ask you, Katrin, these attributes that we've talked about and as they continue to evolve in our conversation, how do these attributes contribute to the effectiveness of a leader in guiding teams and achieving organizational goals?
Well, and we probably talked about, I mentioned a few qualities. I would say if I sort of highlighted three qualities that I think are, for me, really important as a leader, would probably be confidence, humility, and presence. If I had to just, and there's so many, but those are three of the ones that really stand out for me. And what I mean by that is confidence to me means you know what your strengths are. Humility comes from knowing what your opportunities or limitations are. And presence just allows us to show up in the moment and see clearly, see a situation clearly, see others clearly. Mm-hmm. And for me, all three of those qualities really come from knowing yourself. You have to know yourself as a leader first. And I'm very passionate about this piece because in order for me to be able to show up confident, humble, and fully present most days, I really have to do that work first to know myself. So I think it's really important as leaders that we take the time to thoroughly and honestly reflect on who we are, what drives us, what has shaped us, what are our biases, and how do we treat people, especially under times of stress. That's always a significant thing to pay attention to. And so I think it's really important to regularly reflect on these things and take also time at the end of every day to think about what went well, or what went not, what didn't go so well, what can I learn from? And then all those things, I think, ultimately allow you to show up with confidence, humility, and presence. And that allows you to ensure that you're not getting in the way of what your team needs to accomplish. Mm. It's probably the best way I can say that. Mm. If you don't let your own stories or biases cloud your vision or your judgment, then you can really pay attention to what your team needs as a whole and also what each unique team member on your team needs. So it's always the team as a whole and each unique individual on your team. And what do they need to in order to grow, to develop, to perform their best, to feel fulfilled? And so I always think that as a leader, my actions should be 100% in support of what helps my team the most as a team. Mm-hmm. And that means if I help each individual shine and live up to their strengths, then my team works to best together and they really make that what I call that magic happen as a whole and ultimately deliver the best results. But it really starts with getting myself out of the way. It's probably the best way I can put mm-hmm. it too. Because leadership isn't about me, it's about my team.
Mm, I love that. Love that. And you said it again twice, and I love that because that's an example of a great leader is you are a great teacher and you not just tell them what to do, but how to learn how to lead for themselves. You mentioned reflecting on your own, you know, your own day. And we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, self-care and all that in a moment, but how do you reflect at the end of the day to affirm what went well and what maybe didn't do so well, go so well, and what you could learn from it? What's your method? I'd love to know.
It's actually a two-part process for me. So at the end of the day, I just I usually do take a walk and reflect and think: does anything stand out? Does anything still sit with me a little bit where I maybe feel, did I give it its full attention? Was I really present? Did I rush through a situation? That's sort of my initial check-in, or what do I feel went really well? Where did I show up well because I was able to help someone else? And then my part two is I take time every morning to sit and contemplate. And if anything pops up during that time, then I know it's something I really need to take a look at. Those are the things where if it's carried on through the night and it's still there in the morning, I know I need to pay attention and ask myself, okay, what did I bring to that situation or didn't bring to that situation? How could I have done that differently? And I tend to not let it go until I feel I have learned something from it and also possibly take action, meaning I think it's really important as a leader to say, apologize if necessary and if appropriate, or to go and give praise or credit or shout out. So, but it's always this two-part process. It's the initial consideration and then, hey, what still pops up for me the next morning, if anything.
Wow. You know, I learn something every time, and you just taught me something so valuable that we don't have to be follow the rules in the sense of, you know, we hear leaders say, bookend your days, start your morning, do your evening. But I love how you reflect in the evening, but then you do your morning piece that percolates things that happen, you know, in your mind throughout the night or things that you reflected on from the night before. It's just, it's the same process, but you do it intentionally in a bit of the, in a different order. And not that that matters, it's unique, but it's really interesting that you do it. I like that. It's almost like, because your subconscious brain does a lot of work while you sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so you let it come, those things come to the surface in your morning reflection. And then, you know, you come to it at the end of the day. I absolutely love how you do that. I'm going to flip my mindset around a bit and see how that works, because I know how important it is to start your day the way that you want to live your day. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite books, we're going to talk about what your favorite book is. I'll share mine in a moment, but I'm going to give you all a hint. I always come back to Robin Sharma, fellow Canadian, phenomenal leader and coach of leaders. But he quotes often, the way you start your day determines how you will live your day. Mm-hmm. And you just said it the way you're actually coaching us on how we can actually live out that philosophy of Robin Sharma's. So on that note, I'd love to jump into mentorship, because this is something that I know from my leadership journey has been significant, continues to be every day. And you are one of the best mentors I have seen in action and been witness to your mentorship many times, and always grateful. How do you believe mentorship plays a crucial role in ongoing development and growth of leaders? And can you share a specific experience where mentorship has significantly influenced your own leadership journey?
Yeah, leadership is one of those things, I would say, very much, I would say, like parenting, where I think we get very little to no formal training. And a lot of us end up learning on the job.
Oh, yeah.
And there's people involved just like parenting. And I think that a great mentor can just help us reflect on and hopefully learn from situations that maybe we're encountering for the first time, and they can give us some advice based on the experience. And then also a mentor at the right time will challenge or stretch us as a leader and help us maximize our potential by asking us to step up or do something that maybe we haven't done before that's outside of our comfort zone. And I know there's formal mentoring, obviously, and informal mentoring. I've never been part of a formal mentoring relationship, but I've been very lucky to have had multiple people in my life who I would say took a very strong interest in my development. And if I had to think of one person, and it's probably because it was early in my career and it made such a strong impression on me, I had a manager by the name of Jody Wellman, who was just such an exceptionally caring person. And the feedback she provided me with on a regular basis was so detailed and so specific, whether it was positive or constructive, that it really made me appreciate early on the how important it is to invest time and energy into providing people with great feedback and development plans. Because how are you going to grow if somebody isn't courageous enough from a very caring place to tell you what you're doing well and what you're not doing so well, or how people might be perceiving you? Because without feedback, it doesn't matter what we put out there. Everything is about how it's received by others. It's never about our intention, but how does it land? And for me, as a result of that really positive early association with receiving honest and caring feedback, I think it's allowed me to understand that I need to prioritize giving that kind of feedback. And I've done that. I've tried to do that over my leadership career so that people really have a clear understanding of what their strengths and opportunities are and where they stand. And I think that's really important for people to know.
Very. Oh my gosh. Very important. Two things on that. Jody Wellman, I was just so blessed to meet for the first time, thanks to a colleague of yours, Paula Comfort. Shout out to you. And I got to meet Jody virtually. And stay tuned, everyone, because I know Jody will be on the doorsteps of Kenfit Pro or women and or women who influence in the future. And she is just exceptional. And I hear stories of her guidance over the years. And we're so blessed when we find mentors like that. And you mentioned off the top of our episode that you went back to school, but I think mentorship is schooling in the moment. We get the best learnings through mentors, and not even those who were blessed to, you know, are grateful to have time to shape who we are as a leader, but those that we can follow without them even knowing and adapt some of their skill sets and how they step into rooms and lead audiences and groups. I always think of, you know, one of my earliest mentors, Helen Vanderberg. She didn't even know who I was for years, but she was my mentor. And I just kept thinking, if Helen can do it, so can I. If Helen's doing that, I'm going to do it now. And I just fumbled along following the people that I was that I admired, and sort of fell forward into my leadership. Because as you said, I don't think we really went to school for leadership, especially when it came to business. We went to school to learn what our passion was, and we stumbled on the leadership path. But thank you for sharing that. And the thing about feedback, I recently heard, Katrin, feedback is like fertilizer. It helps you grow. Mm-hmm. But you have to get the right type of fertilizer to grow, not to, you know, burn your grass or burn the person that you're nurturing. So it's the right type of feedback that will both help them grow and help them see the strengths in themselves. So I think it has to be the right ingredients within that feedback. And that's something that as a leader, as leaders, we're both blessed to have had really good leadership training on the job, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm.
Well, thank you. So I'm always inspired by the stories, and it always is about a person and a place and a moment where really they imparted that golden nugget or nuggets of knowledge that really they probably don't know, you know, really transformed your career. With that comes great responsibility to pay it forward, right?
It absolutely does. And I always think that because words are stories, but when you experience something, it obviously becomes something very different. And I think someone like what I spoke about with Jody, I had an experience, and that's why I'm very passionate about, if you're asking someone to deliver, for example, a great performance review to someone, well, give them a great performance review first. Like when, you know, when you talk, for example, about a dining experience or group fitness class that you loved, you can talk about it and say, oh, I heard these great things about it. But if you've done it, that experience is just like nothing else. And so I really think that that's where mentorship on the job is actually such an important thing, because you can deliver an experience, you can make someone feel something that they can then hopefully pass on to someone else. And it's, again, I find that's very authentic and real, and it just tends to stick for a long time. Like I said, Jody has not been my manager in a very long time, but it has, my experience that she gave me as a leader has really stuck with me and has, I would say, impacted everyone else I've led since.
Wow. It reminds me how we show up every day, because we can impact someone for the rest of their career or a good part of it, positively or not. So
absolutely.
The power again and responsibility to do that type of work in the morning. So you show up the way you want to live your life and lead you yourself to help then impart that on others. Wow. I know we could talk a lot more about that, but I want to jump into something that we both are passionate about, our shared commitment for continuous growth and development, and how we just blossom when we have the opportunity, blossom even more in our renewed purpose when we attend events, especially the in-person events where we can be with our peers, be with those in the industry that we desire to meet, those that we don't even know, be around that energy. So what I'm talking about, everyone, is the in-person conferences, such as what the fitness industry here in Canada offers and wherever you're listening or viewing in from, the importance of attending in-person events. It might be a local community women's leadership event. It might be going to your annual professional conference. We are blessed to have CanFit Pro Global in Toronto every year for us Canadians to attend. I'm curious, Katrin, as to why you believe events, especially the in-person events, are so pivotal for both personal and professional growth and development.
Well, I would say if the pandemic taught us anything, it's how social most of us are. We all felt this really big void in our lives when we couldn't go out and do things with others. And while technology is amazing, it allows us to connect like we are right now through a screen. When that was all that we had, it just became clear really, really quickly what a, I would say, pale reflection it is of in-person connection and energy. For me, it's a lot. I love listening to music, and I listen to it while I'm driving, working out. I have a great music system at home because I love it so much. And it adds a lot of value to my life, but it is nothing like going to a live concert. When I go to a live concert, you know, that engages all of your senses. It's just it's a much deeper experience. And partly, of course, because I'm enjoying it with a community of like-minded people. So for me, and I think we all know this, we've all felt this, an in-person fitness conference just amplifies our energy and feeling for the industry we all love so much. You don't work in the fitness industry if you don't absolutely love it. And it is just such a great opportunity to connect with like-minded people who are all there to share, whether it's best practices, ideas, learnings, everyone's there to learn. We're all there to help others feel better. And so, like, the networking and connections that you can make at a live event, that is just not possible to the same extent virtually. And you just never know who you're going to meet. You never know what doors are going to open. Same with the learning and the education. To be in a live session when there is a different type of interactions, maybe questions are being asked, maybe fairly hands-on. It's just, you just can't replicate that virtually. And then, of course, you have that industry exposure. We have an awesome trade show at CanFit. I know there's a great trade show. There is idea sharing. You can learn from panels. And a lot of these things, you just don't learn to the same extent unless you're getting together and you have that energy of people being there. I know we often talk, like everyone, all of us who go to CanFit or a conference and we talk afterwards, everyone just always talks about how full our cups are when we come back. Nothing fills your cup like being around like-minded people in person.
And, you know, I've always tried to explain to people the difference. As much as we're blessed to have the new technologies today to attend events to get our continuing education credits through the virtual, now the online world, which is so great for so many. We can, you know, there are no more borders when it comes to how we can learn. But your analogy to listening to great music on your great system at home, but nothing replaces the in-concert experience, that's the best analogy to help people realize the differences between the two. So thank you for sharing that, because that's just like a game changer in terms of when I speak to people and they're like, yeah, well, you know, I don't know if I have the time to come to Toronto, you know, blah, 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 blah. But when you can say, how do you enjoy learning? Now imagine, and I can use the analogy of, you know, what do you love doing that's in person, and using the similar reasoning for that. So great. And the other thing I love about in person is what you said about you never know who you're going to meet, who you sit beside, and how the networking of being around people, whether they're, you know, it's like a reunion because you know people, or whether you're just meeting them for the first time, how it will change your life. And it will. I could write a book on how many life-changing experiences I had sitting in an audience at a conference, looking at someone, they looking at me going, you were on the same gymnastics team as I was when I was in grade 10. You're my mentor from high school. And they just happened to be in the fitness industry doing great things globally. That so many times I've met people like that just by being in a session. Mm-hmm. It just blows my mind. It's such invaluable experiences. I could go on and on. I'm starting to ramble, but thank you for sharing that. Now, one thing I love about seeing you at a conference is the law of attraction. You bring people with you, Katrin. And if you didn't bring them, they're around you anyways, because people love coming to events to be around their peers and to experience that great concert with friends. I guess that's a good way to say it. So, of course, everyone, we're talking about the fitness industry here today. And CanFit Pro Global, which is the annual conference in Toronto, takes place every year in August, this year, August 9th and 10th. It has so much going on this year that's new and different. We kick it off with opening keynotes. We close it with closing keynotes. We have incredible experiences, both in the trade show and in the curriculum itself. Lots of things that are surprises yet to come. But Katrin, what are you most excited about this year? And I know you're involved in a couple of exclusive events, but what are you personally excited about?
There is a lot of great things. I've obviously been in the schedule and have looked very closely. But I'm very excited about our second ever Good Life Excellence and Leadership event. So I'm really excited about that. We have a great lineup of people and a panel, and I think it's going to be fantastic. As you know, Mo, I love group fitness, and I love supporting our instructors, and I really look forward to the Less Most Experience event. It was just a rocking event last year. And there's just so many great. I love walking the trade show floor. It's just so amazing. The keynote, but with all the great things that CanFit offers, as you can imagine, one of the things I look forward to so much is spending that in-person time with my fitness family and friends who I don't always get to see. Get to spend some time with you, Mo, and just nothing beats that.
Mm-hmm. Nothing does. Yeah, so many things. So you did mention an exclusive event with Good Life, and Good Life invests so much into all their associates. So more information coming to you if you are a Good Life associate listening into this episode. And for those that heard about Les Mills Experience for the first time and want to know what that's all about, I twigged to it at the beginning as when I mentioned Body Pump, but it's the branded Les Mills programs that originate from New Zealand. And we bring in the creative directors, program creators of all the programs, along with international Les Mills presenters and master presenters. On top of that, our very own Canadian Les Mills presenters. It is like a fitness rock concert, would you say, Katrin?
Yes. It was a fitness. That is the perfect way of putting it. It is just, you can't describe it. You have to experience it. It is really a one-of-a-kind experience.
And the great news is that event, which takes place Friday evening and all day Saturday, is open to all delegates, and more information coming as to how Good Life members can experience the Les Mills Experience Day as well. So more information there. I'm sure that our DMs are going to be going off with questions about that. So let's jump here. I want to do a rapid round of questions. What comes to mind when I ask you, Katrin, because this is the part where we get to know each other even more, and people can get to learn from you as a mentor and leadership coach. So first and foremost, what's your favorite leadership book and why?
There are so many. I'm going to say Radical Candor by Kim Scott. And why I say radical candor, it is, we've talked a lot about feedback, giving feedback, and it is just, that book is so practical and applicable. And I find that challenging people in a caring way, like that opportunity to stretch and challenge people in a caring way, is probably one of the things that a lot of leaders struggle with the most. And so I think it's just a great book for any people leader who wants to really develop and grow their people. I think this is just a fantastic book.
Radical Candor. And the author?
Kim Scott.
Thank you. Excellent. Well, because of this podcast, I took it upon myself to look at my favorite leadership books. I just collect them. It's like an addiction. And I went back to a book that I realized I haven't read for a long time, The Leader Who Had No Title by Robin Sharma. I realized how long it was because the bookmark was from a conference, a concert, by the way, at a conference that I attended in Portugal way back in 2017 or, oh my, no, 2010. So that being said, I'm reading it again. Always good to pull out books that you can read again and again and always learn from. And I'll leave it at that. What book are you currently reading, or what are you listening to for self-development?
That is a good question. So full disclosure, I'm not currently reading anything new from cover to cover, but I'm a big reader, and I reference books. I go back and I reread books very frequently. So I have three books. Like two are actually on my desk as I speak, and one is on my nightstand that I refer to really regular. So the one that is on my nightstand, and it's really the one that anchors me and reminds me that leadership isn't about me. Like in general, it's not about me. Is called Who Am I by Ramana Maharshi. Mm-hmm. And the two books that are sitting on my desk, again, because I reference them so regularly, the first one is called FYI for Your Improvement. And the second one is called The EQ Edge, Emotional Intelligence and Your Success. Mm-hmm. And both books are just excellent resources for giving people really good actionable feedback and putting development plans together, which can be really challenging, especially the more experienced the leader is. So I keep them both handy at all times.
Wow. I love how you read books. You have three on one all at a time. And I learned early from a coach, you don't even have to read a book cover to cover. You just need to read what you need at that time and trust the universe. So often, here's my secret. I pick up a book every day as part of the way I start my day. I just go like this. It's in my best interest and for my greatest good too.
I love that.
And I open it up and I go, okay, turbulent times build great leaders, the five rules. And then that's what I read for the day. It's like
that's a great.
And that's how I get my reading done. Little secret there, because I've never been a great reader, but that's how you learn. Thank you for sharing that. I love that FYI for instead of for your information, it's for your improvement.
Yes.
What is your go-to self-care strategy, resource, or tool for managing your physical and mental well-being?
Well, I love fitness. So I'm obviously always, and I have for many years, prioritized exercising and healthy eating. But my ultimate self-care strategy, those are, I'm going to say table stakes. They're just always there. And over the last 15 years, I've really delved more into the mental, taking care of myself in a more spiritual way, I guess. And so my ultimate self-care strategy is actually attending a 10-day silent retreat, which I've done multiple times, and then keeping up in between with daily meditations.
Whoa. Phew. I did a 2-hour breakfast silent meditation or retreat. And wow, that is unbelievable. I do meditation daily, but maybe I need to stretch myself, girl. Wow. 10 days. I mean,
that's 10 days of blissful peace.
Wow. Okay. That's cool. Thank you for sharing that. I'm inspired. What's your favorite leadership quote or philosophy?
I guess you could call it a philosophy. It's maybe my leadership mantra is, it's not about me. It's just a really good reminder, you know, when I do something that is outside my comfort zone, it's not about me. But I really try to keep it forefront of mind at all times. Leadership is not about the leader. It's about the people you lead. So that's, I would say, my go-to mantra. It's not about me.
Brilliant. And you live it because you've already talked about that in your own personal leadership journey. What is your go-to? Well, so you talked about how you reflect on your day and how you start your day. So I'm going to stretch it a little bit. What's your go-to practice? And I learned this from Jody Wellman. What is your go-to practice on a Monday morning specifically, if it is different? But do you do something on Monday mornings that's different that sets you up for success for the week? Or is it just something
I wouldn't say, because I start every day with a meditation, and my Monday morning meditation wouldn't be any different than my Friday morning meditation. I would say on Sundays, I always look ahead at the week and sort of roughly take a look at, okay, what do I have going on? Is there anything that I need to wrap my head around, or that's a little bit unusual that maybe I need to reflect a little bit? So I do a little bit of prep on Sundays, just like I wash my leafy greens on Sundays and pack them all up so I have them ready for the week. So I do a little prep on Sunday, and then I start with my regular morning meditation on Monday mornings.
Oh, good for you. That's amazing. I have to confess, Mondays is not my, in the past, Mondays was not my favorite day. Mm-hmm. However, thanks to learning from Jody Wellman specifically about how many more Mondays do you have to live in this one precious life? And she has a number of how many Mondays we have in our life to live. I started to reframe Mondays, and it's been a game changer. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I have sacred time Monday mornings. I do not have a meeting until 12 noon. I always think to myself lately, especially since I've adopted this in the last 9 months, is that 9 months to a year now, is that, you know, you can manage, time will control you unless you control time. And I find my schedule just gets out of control throughout the week, especially in virtual, where you can just go back to back and nobody thinks you need a break between meetings.
Yes.
You don't have to go anywhere. So Monday mornings, unless I book it in, no one can book time. It is blocked. It's Mo's time. And since I've been doing that, it has set my week up for much more calm, you know, predictable success. And I can manage especially my mental well-being a lot better, my anxiety, my mood, when I don't just bookend my days, but I start my Monday in that way. So
that's great.
Perhaps, you know, I love how you just, I'm going to have to now figure out how to just make that consistent for Mo time. And again, Robin's book teaches us, he has what's called the 5:30 a.m. club. Again, for the reasons we shared, how you start your day is how you will live your day. We're going to need to wrap up, but I could talk to you for much longer. And so, Katrin, before we close, you did tell me that you use LinkedIn as your primary social platform. Can you just share, is it under your name? Do you have a LinkedIn name?
It's just under my name. Yes.
Just, not just, but yes, it's under
your name. Yes, it's under my name.
Katrin Bates, you got to connect and follow, and you can stay in touch with Katrin and everything that she's doing. You'll want to come meet Katrin at Kemfit Pro Global. For any of you that are interested in learning more, you can go to www.kemfitpro.com/events2024/global. And that's where you can find out more information and register. And there are early bird discounts as well. If you are a Kemfit Pro business member listening to this episode, please note that you have a very sweet business member discount to come to our conference. That is the Kemfit Pro Global event. So please check it out. And if you are not a member, can you still come to Kemfit Pro? Absolutely. You can purchase a trade show ticket, receive lots of great education and experiences in the trade show, as well as walk the show and spend. All right. As Katrin and I discussed throughout this episode, you know, the role of a leader extends far beyond our personal aspirations. Certainly, Katrin is an example of that. As a leader, it's not about you. And also how to embody the leadership qualities, knowing what they are to start, but embodying those qualities through how you choose to show up every day and step into your greatness so you can help to shape greatness and inspire others. And especially today when we have such diverse, challenging, changing environments as we work and learn to navigate that. But as we're all learning to navigate it, I wanted just to end off by saying, and I have to say, Katrin is the greatest example of this, and saying that it's how we show up every day, but it's also how we show up for each other and how we show up as a leader in our profession at our annual events, whatever they may be for you. You may ask yourself, well, should I go this year? Yes, you should, because the world needs more of you and the industry or profession that you're in needs more of you as well. You just never know who you'll meet, and people are waiting to meet you. So please do your part to move your profession forward. Leadership, like life itself, begins at the edge of your comfort zone. So let's step onto the edge and over the edge as we embark on our journey to leadership for ourselves and our teams, our community, and for our profession. I'm going to just give the last word to Katrin. I just want you to sign off. Do you have anything else you want to say, or what's your favorite way of saying goodbye?
My favorite way of saying goodbye is actually a heartfelt hug, if appropriate, if the other person is comfortable with hugging that. But that is, that is my favorite way to say goodbye. But Mo, I want to thank you. You've been such a leader and trailblazer in the industry and for women. You've done so much for women, not just in the fitness industry. And I appreciate you always being so willing to, you have such an open mind and you're so open to learning while you have so much to share. And I thank you for everything that you do for all of us in the industry and for women in particular.
You are welcome. It is my pleasure. It's my purpose. And at this time in my career, I take it as an important role to help pave the path forward. And just knowing that it impacts a single person in a day, in a month, a year, keeps me really fired up to do what I do for many years, decades, or whatever it is to come. And I'll give you that big hug, virtual for now. And to all of you, thank you for being here. A big hug for your time today. And thank you. Until next time, continue to be that amazing leader that you are. Bye.
Thanks, Mo. Bye.